Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Big Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word. And tonight, I've got a special guest co-host coming back to the show, gracious as she is, Miss Esther Lighthorse, author and talker supreme. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
Yes, before we get started, I want to give a shout-out to my man, Jaja Malik Adenra, he of the newborn twins over there in Abu Dhabi. So, just yeah, he's not getting any sleep right now. And speaking of getting no sleep, I mean, last time you was here, we was on the countdown. I mean, we got a reprieve. Instead of us all dying a couple weeks ago, we have a reprieve. Yeah, we don't die till October 21st now.
Yes, the date always gets pushed forward. There's always some kind of reprieve. You know, somebody prayed extra hard. Somebody felt extra sorry for humanity. So, you know, we didn't bite the big one on the 21st of May.
But you know what? That's a good excuse you gave there. Like, cause I could see them using that. Like you know what? Someone was praying and they were so good. God felt favor with them, and that's the reason why.
Yes, yes, and that's not the only time that someone has predicted the end of everything, and then it's their prediction has come and passed and you know flopped like all of them usually do. All of them have, and then they say, well, you know, it was a reprieve. You know, all the people who believed in God, they prayed so hard, they brought everybody else some extra time. So hopefully a lot of those everybody else's aren't going to hell like they would have because people hadn't prayed so hard.
Yeah. I'm somehow down, but just in case, what you got planned for October 21st?
Probably I'll still be making my Halloween costume. I like going trick-or-treating.
Okay.
Old as I am, I always go trick-or-treating. It's free candy. You cannot pass that up. Even if you're an adult, if you have a nice enough costume, they will give you candy and lots of it.
Hey, but you know what? That may work for you, but I'm thinking that if I show up costume or not, I don't think people open the door.
That's why, see, what I do is I usually travel with a group of children under the guise of taking them trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by six or seven kids, and everybody's dressed up really cool. And then they always give me my costume. Oh, we have to give you some candy. It's a cool costume. So I usually make out like a bandit. It's pretty cool.
You throw your bag up first. Watch out, kids.
And then I go home and I separate them all. I segregate all my candies. You know, by brand, and then by, you know, you have your Reese's cups, and you have your little tiny Reese's pieces, and you have your M&M's, your almond M&M's, peanut M&M's. It works so well. Put them all in different baggies, put them in the freezer, and see how long it lasts. Which usually isn't very long.
Yeah, I feel you there. I mean, I'm just saying. I don't know if I can. Maybe I just have to go trick-or-treating with you. I have my nice costume, and I'm like the chaperone.
Exactly. Just you have to have an angle. It's all about angles.
All right. Okay.
Just like this, you know, the people who want to predict the end of the world. It's all about angles. See, it comes and passes, and they take a new spin on it. Oh, well, you see, I was just saying, you know, God have mercy on everybody. It's like when I go trick-or-treating, it's an angle. You know, I'm just chaperoning these kids and make sure they're safe.
Yeah.
It works sometimes.
And it's good cardio. I guess.
Yeah, depending on which neighborhood you're in, of course. I think some neighborhoods are a little bit more wise to it. They look at you like, you're a little bit old to be trick-or-treating.
Well, I remember that as a teenager. I remember one was like, y'all a little too old to be trick-or-treating.
I'd probably trick-or-treat more now than when I was a kid.
Yeah, I know. I can count on my fingers the times that I trick-or-treated, so I don't know. We wasn't really that big on Halloween. But
yeah, for us, it was just the free candy. The free candy, that's what it was all about.
Free is a beautiful thing. Now, speaking of Halloween, now, I mean, of course, Osama bin Laden's been killed again. I have to preface it by saying that, you know, this is like the third or fourth time I've heard he's been killed. I want to ask your opinions on it. I kind of know, but I want to ask your opinions on it. And also, what do you think about this BS them talking about his porn collection and all? I'm like, really?
That reminds me of, like, when we have presidential elections here in the States and everybody's slinging mud on something, and you want to make the other guy look as bad as possible. Okay? So they go in and dig up anything that they can possibly find or make it up or take what information is there and totally twist it out of proportion, you know? And they don't want people to look at this raid on this place where supposedly bin Laden was over in Pakistan. You know, they want to have as little backlash as possible. They want to have as much, they want to look like they were in the right as much as possible. So they get all kinds of crazy stuff, including a porn collection. A porn collection.
Yeah.
You know, make the guy look bad. Make conservative Christian America look at this guy real bad. Yes, we definitely deserve to be over there in Pakistan doing a covert mission, shooting somebody dead who supposedly supposed to be bin Laden.
Well, hold on. That thing, though, we're here in America. You know, you saying that him having a porn collection, that kind of make him look cool to majority of
America. Which is funny thing, because the younger generation, you know, they have some of these music videos or even some of the movies that come out. And if you have the internet, it's very, very easy. You just type in, and you have to be careful what you're looking for also, or some stuff will come up that you're not intending to bring up on the internet. Either way, it's available, especially in our country, everywhere, anywhere you go.
Right.
You get some kind of pornography. So saying that he had this huge collection of pornography was a very interesting attempt to discredit any leadership quality that he had, or people thought he had, or his followers thought he had.
Well,
you know,
I'm sure the number 2 through 38 guy in the Taliban, they probably all have porn collections.
So there's probably, 50 to 80% of people in America.
Right.
You know, but so long as you're not running for president or you're not running a terrorist group, you're probably good to go. I don't know if you will find out.
Yeah, I think people take that. I mean, speaking of that, I remember reading an article where they were talking about how is porn the root to relationship problems? And, like, really?
No, that is just, that's an interesting assertion. You know, that's like saying drugs are the problem with the kids in America, but no, the problem is people not controlling themselves, people making bad decisions. If they have a bad relationship, maybe they're treating their partner poorly. Maybe they're being rude or mean or smacking them around. You have plenty of nice people out there who probably take a peek at porn every now and then, and they don't beat people up and they won't have bad relationships. So how they make these connections, you know, I don't know what dice they're rolling or what connected dot game they're playing, but it really doesn't pan out.
Well, speaking of that, you know, and that was one subject I wanted to talk about, because I saw this in Lithuania. They had blow-up doll day. It was Inflatamate race, where these guys and their blow-up dolls would go ahead and race. They'd swim as like a blow-up doll triathlon.
Wow. Well, oh, and I should definitely make a distinction. I don't mean that people who look at, there are some types of porn that are absolutely terrible, anything to children or anything that's people. I definitely don't mean anything like that. I'm talking to regular Playboy Maxim kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
Anybody who looks at that other kind of stuff, there's definitely something wrong with them, you know, because you're not paying them, you know, back whatever you got to do with them.
Yeah, those kind of people, we not even talking about that. Now, I brought that up because, because I don't down people who do the blow-up doll deal. I mean, because a blow-up doll is no different to me than a vibrator. And
Right,
so I say when we look at that, I wanted to ask you this, you think that there's just a fundamental problem with people not being able to relate on just a basic level, where they feel the need like you were talking about controlling yourself. I think that it's gone to the other side where, you know, you talk about the reliance of porn, and then you start talking about the vibrators and the blow-up doll, where people just can't relate man-to-man, woman-to-woman, whatever.
Right, right. There is some kind of disconnection there. Maybe people are afraid of what people are going to say. If they go and ask questions, hey, I'm having a problem with this, if it's a physical problem or if it's an emotional issue or if it's a mental issue, you know, some things are still sort of kind of taboo, especially in American society. They don't want people to look at them wrong. So then they start, you know, relying on pictures or vibrators or dolls or whatever, and gradually you have this reliance that's built on these things that are non-animated. You know, they're not actual real people, and you get a distance that's built up. And generally that's going to make your problems even worse and worse as you go on and not try to address them. That's for people who probably get hooked on it more, but for people who go and take a peek every now and then or use a vibrator now and then or a doll, I really don't think there is a problem. Maybe their significant other is on a trip or something and they're feeling lonely. Okay, that's one thing. For people who do it, you know, all the time and it seems to increase in the things that they do, there's probably some kind of problem. But in general, every now and then, I don't really think there is a problem.
Well,
because
I don't
have people who will say, well, all these sexual things, you know, they're bad, they can't have this in the pit of hell, they're this, they're that, they're against society. Well, you know, what if these people had nothing to do with their sexual urges? What would they do then?
Kill people.
you know?
And that's kind of what happens there. I mean, I'm not one to say what someone does to please themselves and get by or whatnot. I mean, because what you do at your house, if it's not affecting anyone else negatively, hey, whatever. But I just think that there's that problem because there's an overindulgence. You know.
Yes, that's a very good word.
You know, like I can't like relate to you. I mean, you talk about, like you saying, they're on a trip, whatnot, or you just do it occasionally. But when it becomes over the 50-cent line, Mendoza line, whichever one you want to call it, I see that there's a problem, and it seems to be something that pervades not just our society, but I mean it's a world issue. I mean,
yes.
They have a contest. It's an official day. You know?
that's pretty interesting. You know, I can only imagine if they were, you know, doing their little triathlon thing with vibrators instead of dolls. Yeah. You know, that's really crazy. But, you know, a lot of other countries and cultures look at sex and sexual matters and everything else involved with that a lot differently than we do.
Right. Well, so there was a video that came with the link, and the guy was talking about how she's a good girl and she does everything I say, and I'm just stuck on that. Like, yeah, I guess she wouldn't talk back.
Well, then not to me. I mean, there's definitely a problem with probably his communication with women. It doesn't sound like it would be that good, being serious. And issues with dominance and wanting to command, and you're going to do what I say, do what I tell you to do, and this is what, you know, you're my slave or whatever. That sounds like, yeah, if that person's being serious, they've got some definite problems.
I don't know. I think it would be the exact opposite. I think the guy who is not domineering would have the doll.
Yeah. Well, is it complete dominance or is it, you know, a little bit? If each partner has a little bit of dominance in at least some area, you know, balance it out. That's, you know, probably something that's part of what makes a strong relationship, balance.
Well, I was going to say, in all honesty, Esther, I don't think that these guys are dating real people much.
No, probably not. No, they're not seeing a whole lot of action.
Yeah, it's an educated guess. It's probably not for them, real dating.
No, maybe. I wonder if that would be, is it an issue with commitment or an issue with they just want to be free to do their own thing? Or is it maybe an issue they don't want someone who talks back?
Well, I mean, but see, then you throw that same argument on the people who are reliant on vibrators and other non-human. I mean, because it's the same argument, because it's the same concept. It works when I want it to work, and that's it.
Yes. Yes. And it's, you know, and maybe for some people it's not so bad if it's a vibrator because it's something that can be hidden. You know, you don't have to, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
that'd be a lot easier to hide.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the stigma, because they'll say, okay, this guy, he has a blow-up doll. There's something wrong with him. But he's doing the exact same thing as the person with the vibrator. I just think that it's kind of skewed. It is funny because we're in a male-dominated society, despite what people think. And,
okay.
You know, it in that department, it's skewed toward there's something wrong with the guy.
Well, I think a lot of people go, the people who are saying there's something wrong with the guy, you know, if with that same person, do they have the vibrator or do they have the doll? Are those people the ones that secretly have stuff in their own closet and they're doing the same thing and they're just trying to, you know, point a finger at somebody else and nobody sees what they're doing, what they've got in their closet or under their covers?
As you know, 9 times out of 10 in the cases that we've seen played out on the national and international stage, those who are doing the pointing are the ones.
Oh, yeah, they're the guilty ones.
They're guilty every time.
And usually on a much, much more shocking level, too.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I mean, real quick point. Before we go on break, I mean, Newt Gingrich, the number one guy on Bill Clinton, but Newt Gingrich was the guy who was getting blowjobs in his car.
Oh, yes. Cheating on his wife. Wow.
We're talking about it.
Married how many times? And I think he's on the last article how he slit his own throat for presidential, running for president, because some of the crazy stuff he would say.
Well, he's on his third or fourth one or something like that, but this is the guy who gave divorce papers. He served divorce papers to a wife that was in a coma. So,
uh-huh.
I, you know, we're not.
What kind of a man is that?
Yeah.
What kind of a man is that?
Great.
You want a man like that running your country? Was he going to resign presidency as we're getting hit with nuclear bombs?
Well, I mean, would you even want a man like that around you? And on that note, we're going to go to a deceased man, unfortunately. The late, great Marvin Gaye. This is Inner City Blues. Make me want to holler. Co-host tonight, Miss Esther Lighthorse. And if you want to holler at us, I forgot to do this, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. Once again, if you want to holler at me and Esther, 646-929-2037 is the call-in number. We also, if you're in one of our respective chat rooms, if you're in the Blog Talk chat room, or if you happen to be in the live stream chat room that you can get to by going to our Smooth Drama site, www.smoothdrama.com, and going to the news section, you can go on and you can chat with us live right here, right now.
Sweet.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I couldn't believe I was reading where the Pentagon was saying they're going to treat cyber attacks as acts of war.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're
cyber attacks.
Yes, they're set to publish plans that will categorize cyber attacks as acts of war, saying that in the future, president could consider economic sanction, cyber retaliation, or a military strike if key U.S. systems were attacked. Now,
a military strike for a cyber attack?
Yeah. Now, you and I both know which one is going to be used. It's going
wow.
to be a cyber attack. I mean, it's going to be the military strike. I thought that
was
better.
One of the worst excuses for attacking somebody I have heard, at least in the last 24 hours. You know, it's a cyber attack. Push the button. Uh-huh.
Well,
wow. It's just another excuse to also to keep them putting their nose in people's business. You know, who doesn't have something on the computer nowadays? You know, you can monitor more what people are doing to make sure that they're not doing cyber attacks.
Well,
it's just like the Patriot Act, just redone.
I was just right. about to say that, extended. Now,
uh-huh.
I mean, now I asked you this question. Aside from the fact, first, cyber attacks, we can't prove who did it. We just have to drink the Kool-Aid again in, you know what I'm saying, well, such and such did it, and that's why we dropped a bomb. There's no proof to that, like there was no proof with Osama being dead. Now, this Patriot Act, I asked you this, and I posed this to the listeners. Why is it that our progressive president, you know, Obama, the enlightened one, that the Patriot Act gets extended? And it seems like we have an overabundance of our rights being taken during this administration, not under Bush. Nobody's talking about it.
No, of course not, because then they'd have to turn around and say, oh, we were wrong about Bush. And they don't want to say that. They don't see it as, you know, oh, we're having the freedom taken away. They just don't want to be wrong. They don't want to be wrong. They're that, you know, determined to not have to bite their tongues on it, to not have to say, okay, yeah, we are having more freedoms taken away. You know, Bush wasn't doing this to us. And now look at Obama, and people are stumbling hand over foot to pass whatever he's trying to pass. You know, they'll regret it. They'll regret it in the end. They always do.
Right.
We should have done this. We should have said no. We should have said stop. We should have said these are our rights. You cannot have them. We should have said this is what the country was founded on, freedom, 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 freedom of thought, freedom of idea, freedom of speech. You know,
it's so much stuff. I mean, your right to remain silent, that's gone. The right to call for a lawyer, that's gone. I mean, they can even go through your cell phone without you can't even protest it. They go over your cell phone. I keep telling people, if you got the naked pictures in there, it'll monitor now.
Right. It's no more a freedom of personal things. It's now only free and freedom and free expression for yourself and to say something, to have ideas and to discuss them, so long as it does not step on the government's toes of what they think is appropriate.
Well,
welcome to socialism.
Well, I mean, I don't even see it as the government. I mean, they don't want you to say anything. I mean, with this Patriot Act, we know that we can't protest against the government or we'll get locked up. You can be locked up and without going to trial indefinitely. We know that. It's a scary place. I mean, you think about it. You can just get taken one day and nobody will ever know what the hell happened to you.
You'll end up with like another face on a milk carton. Where is this person?
Right. Right.
Just gone. And then they'll say, well, you know, maybe they got tired of life and up and left. You know, it happens all the time. Well, I don't mean to make it sound like every 5 minutes, but every now and then you'll stumble on these shows. What happened to so-and-so? He's just up and left.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and then you'll see little stuff happen. Like I was reading this case about these boys who got kicked off the bus for passing gas.
What?
Yeah.
Well, depending on what they ate, I can probably understand why.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, you
still, that just, wow.
Yeah, I'm saying you can't kick me off the bus for passing gas. And as they call it, this is in Ohio, causing a ruckus. 13-year-olds.
Oh, they were kids. Oh, come on. And they kicked them off for that.
Right. I mean, but see what I look at is there's a precedent set. See, because there was a set of behaviors that were unacceptable, and so you could be taken off of anywhere.
And what happens if you're an elderly person and you no longer have control of that?
Oh, God.
Okay. And you start cracking them off. What happens? I mean, kick you off the bus because you can't keep your cork in?
Technically, yeah. I mean, it's funny. I was playing ball today, and I'm running behind this guy who cracked off like 3 or 4 in a row. And I'm like, wow, he's cracking off 3 or 4 in a row right here on the court. And so I had to zig and cross. But it's funny, but that should not be a punishable offense.
No, it might smell offensive, but as far as being a punishable offense, that is a waste of legislation, a waste of time, a waste of gas, stopping the bus and pulling it over. I think that was a good pun, too. But, you know, to make such a rule, it's such a pointless rule. Before you know it, these people, you know, burping. You know, if they want to, you know, kick people off a bus, why don't they kick the people off and pick their noses, okay? That's pretty gross, okay?
Yeah. I mean, I like to point out these kind of things because I don't think people understand that when we hear about cases like that, they set a precedent for something bigger. It's always about setting the precedent for something bigger.
It is, and it always starts as something small, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Something small, something that people think is kind of funny or kind of a waste of time, like I just said, and then what's going to be next? Someone who's on the bus reading the Bible, someone who's on the bus reading the Satanic Bible, someone who's on the bus dressed in a certain way, you know?
Well, I mean, we know that as far as books go, I mean, they've changed the words in books. They've banned some books. I mean, I expect any day now, although it's rare that people who read books ride the bus, you know, because it's rare to find people who read.
I read, wow. I was reading something that said that the average reading time for an individual is like something really super low, like 8 hours a month. I'm like, goodness gracious, I think I do that in a day.
Yeah.
You know, always pressing reading, reading, reading. And I don't mean just, you know, magazines and newspapers. That kind of really doesn't count. It's not like they're deep reading. You know, whether you're reading something by Stephen King or Ayn Rand or, you know, real reading, you know, Emily Dickinson, Mary Shelley, something that's real literature, something that's real good in-depth reading. Then when you mention those names to people, they're like, who is Emily Dickinson?
Right.
Who is Mary Shelley?
Yeah, well.
And they don't know. Then again, maybe those are the same people making stupid rules like, you know, kicking off 13-year-old boys for cracking them off on a bus.
Hey, well, not only that, I was talking about in Connecticut, they just last week, there's a guy who had his case dismissed because he felt that he was rejected from the police because he scored too high. And, this is a true story. And the judge who dismissed it said, well, hey, they acted like that because they dismissed everyone who scored too high.
Really?
Now, think about that for a second. Yeah, I have to keep bringing this up. You can't be smart too smart and have a gun. They're basically...
Well, maybe that is the case, because then you know exactly who to go for.
That's a great point.
Figure out who's really lying, figure out who's really telling the truth, and figure out who really did what to whom.
Yeah, well, I mean, but see, that's kind of, it defeats that purpose. We know that in our society, we don't reward the folks who are quote-unquote whistleblowers, people who are on the low end, who may get by something. I mean, you know, the whole welfare queen argument. Folks are always talking about welfare queens and people trying to scam the system, but nobody talks about oil company executives and their $4 billion assist that they get.
And they don't need that assistance.
Yeah, well, they made over 30-some billion dollars collectively. And they get tax breaks and they get benefits, which is welfare, but no one attacks these individuals. I mean, that's where the real money is. That's what's hurting the country. If you want to look at it from a dollars perspective,
buyouts.
Yeah.
Just another way, you know, to keep the poor people even more poor. Keep them poor, so that way they're not paying attention to what the government's doing because they're so worried about where their next meal is going to come from and where they're going to live. You know, keep the money for the poor low. Well, the government can't give any more to welfare or to this program or that program because they're bailing out these guys or saying that they're bailing out.
Well, I mean, but we know it is welfare. Last time I checked, if I'm giving you free money, that's welfare.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you happen to see that movie Too Big to Fail?
Too Big to Fail?
Yeah, it was based on a book where they were showing how they were bailing out the 700 billion that they bailed out these corporations because they were too big to fail.
Who is that by? I want to see that.
Gosh. The guy, I saw him on Bill Maher a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I like him. He's pretty good.
Yeah, and the movie was on just this past weekend. I was watching it, and it was like, I know the story. I watched some of it, and it's sickening. And
wow.
I wonder, where's the protest for that? I mean, because there's a college football, there's a big scandal, Ohio State's coach Jim Tressel, he resigned.
That shocked me.
Well, it should.
That shocked me. And it was just super sudden. I didn't think it would be boom like that quick. Goodness.
Well,
you know, why don't you just hold up a huge flag and say, yeah, it was me, I did it.
Well, but did you see the offenses that he committed?
Not all of them. So the article that I saw on the internet really seemed to be very pro Ohio State.
Right. Well, yeah, because he wins. But the thing was, he'd been cheating since the 90s when he was at his other school. I mean, they all cheat. It's just, I guess his boosters weren't as thorough as other cheating schools' boosters are.
Oh, wow.
So it's terrible when the people aren't mad at him. They're mad at the quarterback who was driving the different cars, whatnot, Terrell Pryor.
And they're mad at, wow, that's really the wrong person that they should be mad at, not that they shouldn't be upset with him at all, but this is a kid being told by his coaches and everybody what to do.
Right.
They can't in good faith blame that kid for everything. There's no way.
Hold on a second. We have a call. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Hi. You know, I have a question for your guest, Esther Lighthorse.
Okay.
Yes. Hi, Esther. You know, I've got to say, you know, I've read up about your works and stuff, and I can appreciate the fact that you have a difference of opinion. But don't you think there's going to be some ramifications of you kind of slandering the Bible and the religious works of all the people out there that do love Jesus?
Slandering the Bible? Okay, well, what about all the people who take what's in the Bible and they write whatever they want and they take it and twist it to mean whatever they want to give them permission to go barge into countries or kill people or for whatever reason or to pick on other groups who believe differently? That isn't slander. It's only slander when someone
Bible
goes to print and stands
this
up work
of the Lord.
Full of crap.
No.
The Bible is written by people who claim to be God inspired. Ask them who wrote the Bible. They'll say, well, it's God's inspired word. And you'll say, how do you know? And they'll say, because it says in the Bible. So they're using what they're saying was inspired to back up what they're saying. That makes zero sense.
But your book has
no
meaning. There's no problem with the word of God.
There's a problem with
No.
It's the words of men. And there's no problem with wanting to believe in the Bible and follow what it follows, but the problem starts when you try to press that on everybody. You have to believe this way. What you're doing is wrong. You know, what you're worshiping is wrong. How you're living is wrong. Hey, if you want to live according to the Bible, peace be to you. That is fine. That is your thing. Do not demand that I live the same way, and don't tell me I'm going to hell. It's a made-up place. It's a made-up place.
No, I understand, sweetheart. I'll pray for you because I think that you need Jesus in your art.
Mm.
And you
Which
should come
you
down
know,
to our
I
church
appreciate, No, I appreciate your concern, but I would not want to be set up like in front of a firing squad where, I mean, we already know, obviously, you disagree, you believe the Bible is absolutely 100%, and that's your thing, right? And my thing is saying that it's not 100%. It is not the final word. It is not the ultimate in everything. The ultimate in everything is that each person within themselves, in their heart, in their mind, in their spirit, they hold themselves accountable for what they say and what they do and the things that they put into this world in self-control. And what are they going to do that's contributing something good to themselves and their family and their community and the world, not what God they worship?
All right.
Well, I'm going to read your books, and, you know, we're going to pray for you, and there's always an open spot at our church here, honey.
All
but
right.
I do appreciate that.
Well,
thank you. Thank you for having me, Paul.
You're welcome. Right. Call back anytime.
Thanks.
Wow, that was a first.
Yeah. Hey.
I have no problem with someone who wants to, I mean, really, belief can be a very strong thing. It can help you live, for some people, a better life, you know. I know people who have gotten off of drug addiction through spiritual search in the church, you know, and that's a good thing. They sure as heck are better off than what they were on, I tell you that much.
Well, my opinion, I think what happens in these situations, you get people who are saying in reading some of your writings, whatnot, they feel like you're degrading what they believe is absolute canon. And, I mean, there's no questioning anything. Which I have a problem with. I mean, obviously, I see the inconsistencies like a lot of people see the inconsistencies because I take these words that are said, and then I see that you don't take these words sincerely. You only use what you feel can work for you and not everything else. It's contradictory, I look at myself as I don't disregard your beliefs, but I see it. I'm spiritual. I don't believe in man's religion. There's a difference.
Oh, you mean like a humanism kind of thing?
No, I just think that, you know, your belief in your creator is your business, and the whole trying to force it down my throat, anyone's throat, I mean, you look, the original Crips and Bloods is the Christians and the Muslims.
Yes, which is, you know, if you go back, and if people could really just sit down and really and truly be open-minded about things and along with an open heart, and you kind of have to have the two go together to really come to, you know, something really good that really works out in the end, you know, and looking at yourself and your beliefs and saying, is this something that contributes to a better me, to a better family, to a better community? And you know what? If I go out there and write books that are nice and sweet and don't say anything along the lines that are controversial, that do not poke holes in different religious theories or practices, or attempt to poke holes, I should say, if I don't do it that way, okay, no one's going to listen. No one's going to give a damn. No one's going to care. So that is why I write what I write. Incendiary things. Things to get people riled up. Absolutely. Absolutely. Get them riled up. Get them thinking. Get them looking at things. Okay, everybody doesn't believe the same. So is that a good reason to fight?
Well, apparently, history shows that it is. You know, instead of
learn from history.
Right. Instead of focusing on what we have in common, we sit up here and talk about what we don't have in common. And I mean, that's
exactly
my number one indictment of it, because you're basically that they say the same thing. You're supposed to treat people the way you want to be treated. Be nice. Don't kill people. Don't steal from them. Blah blah blah. But you're
right, right. And those are good things, right?
Right.
Those are good things.
Those are great things.
But do you need to have a divine being, made up or otherwise, to tell you these things? Aren't those things that you should know within yourself? Shouldn't you know how to treat other people? You have people who are raised by wonderful parents, and they turn out to be the most horrible people. And you have wonderful people who have terrible parents, and they come out to be the most giving, you know, honorable, helpful people. It's within the person, and it's what you do with what's in you.
Right.
And if it's not something good, you need to turn around and say, I need to change this. And if it's something good, then you do what you can, and you plant it, and you hopefully grow something that's good and that's helpful.
Yeah.
And I hope the lady, well, I'm sure. I do come across like my dad says, sometimes a force of nature. I don't think she's wrong for wanting to believe in the Bible. I think the part that's wrong is trying to force it down other people's throats. If she wishes to pray for me, hey, fine, that's her thing. I don't personally think I need it, but in, you know, hey, what's wrong with a little extra prayer, right? Who knows, maybe October 21st or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe that prayer will extend it even further for everyone. Who knows?
We're coming up on doomsday again. But I think, you know, when we look along the lines of how people treat people, like I was reading the story about the woman in Saudi Arabia where the laws prohibiting women from driving. You know, over there you can't address a man. It's ignorant. And these are religious people.
Yes.
You know, I just pointing that out. And then you come here in America, like I was saying, how it's said, it's rumored that we treat our women better here, but we know here in America, if you wanted to be a priest, as far as a woman goes, no.
Yeah, it's really not going to happen, depending on which religion you're in. There are a few that will allow female ministers.
That are sure.
And I can't stress enough, there's going to be more pages that I'm adding to my website. It takes a lot of research, so it's taken a long time to add things. But I want to have things on there, a particular page that stresses, I am not anti God or religion per se. I am anti stuffing it down people's throats and saying that this is the only way or this is the only answer, because it's not. There's lots of different ways. And you know what? When one way isn't working, what do? You find another way to do something better, you know, that will help more people in the end. And telling people, believe this way or else, is not helping.
Right.
Telling people, you're going to hell and you're going to burn forever because you don't believe this way. That is not helpful in any way whatsoever. That's what I'm trying to get people to understand. You know, reach down in there somewhere, find that little lock that you threw away a long time ago, unlock it and open your mind, and at least think about things. At least do that, because that can, even that action alone, can help open one's mind.
Well, see, that's the thing. Those are the key words, open-minded. People think that when you say open-minded, that you're on some free love sexual revolution or whatnot. But open-minded is just understanding that there are two sides of an argument.
Right. It's an acknowledgement of more information.
Right. And unfortunately, we, as Martin Luther King once famously said, we don't know how to disagree without being violently disagreeable.
That is so true.
Yeah. People don't understand. You don't have to believe everything 100%.
No, and you don't have to even believe something at all just because you listen to it. And just because you don't believe it, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have some kind of validity to it. It doesn't mean that it doesn't have some kind of value to it, you know. And it doesn't mean that someone who believes in it, even though you don't, it doesn't mean that it's completely and totally wrong.
Hey, well, along those lines, there's a millionaire, Johann Hubers, spent the last 3 years and $1.6 million of his own money building a modern-day replica of Noah's Ark.
Okay, I'm laughing because let's pull myself together here.
I'm like, what the hell he's going to do with it? I don't know.
Yep.
Huh?
Is it for a museum, maybe?
It's 450 feet long and 75 feet wide, and it's made out of gopher wood. Well, it's not made out of gopher wood. He used resin wood.
Oh, yeah, because it had, like, pitch put on inside and out on the gopher wood.
We're also in the days of animal activists, so he's going to put fake animals in there.
kidding.
He wants to have it in London during the 2012 Summer Olympics. Yeah.
Well, I'm not even sure what to say to that, because it sounds absolutely ludicrous.
Right.
Maybe if it's for them, you know, say, hey, maybe this is what it would look like. You know, I mean, never mind all the questions and how you'd fit all the different species on the planet in the Ark, but, you know, hey. Wow, fake animals and all. Wow. Does that kind of defeat the purpose of having the Ark in the first place, if the animals are fake?
Well, I one, don't understand. Like one of our bloggers was saying, what's the point? like he can make better use of the money. Yeah, he probably could have built some things for some less fortunate people around
exactly.
the world, mm-hmm. but instead he built the ark. So,
just like the most recent rapture, right? How much money was spent to advertise that? Okay, how much money was spent? How many hungry families could have been fed? Or homeless people, or whatever, maybe get some medical care for people, maybe some clothing, some shoes, something to help the less fortunate, something.
Why?
Instead of going and trying to scare the bejesus out of them.
Why are you trying to make sense?
Oh, because it's fun, and it's great, and I like to make things to the point at least sometimes.
Well, I mean, you know, I see that. I mean, sort of like I make fun of these studies that they have. You know, they have these mindless studies. I'm like, y'all spent money to tell us that monkeys like having sex. We already knew that.
Yeah.
You know?
Same thing with dolphins too. They did the same thing with dolphins. Now, why did you need to spend money on a program or a study to find out whether or not dolphins like sex? That's nice. That's nice.
Right. Like,
it means that, wow, money well spent making mom and dad proud.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that and that's the point. I bring this up because, once again, like you said, he spent $1.6 million. And
that's really crazy.
That's a lot of shacks that could have been built.
Yeah, the Habitat for Humanity, come on. They're always needing help. You know, do something great and wonderful, something that will help bring society and people together, you know, instead of push them farther away by injecting yet another absurdity into the mainstream, unless maybe he's just doing it just to do something crazy and fun. I don't know. Maybe he's got some blow up dolls on there.
Well, you know, there's no money in helping people, and there's no logic in it.
Maybe that's just for stingy, black-hearted people. Maybe that's what it is. Because I think that there's a lot to be had in helping your fellow man. I've needed help before, and a lot of people have helped me. Sometimes I didn't realize I needed it. Sometimes I did, but I've always been grateful.
Right. I mean, helping people is a beautiful thing. You know, it was like it had the story about this homeless man who helped a woman who was struggling. He saved his money that he was collecting and gave it to a struggling single mother. And
you know what? That's outstanding. That is outstanding. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Right. But it seems that he has more heart than the guy who spends $1.6 million on an ark to put fake animals in and to dock for the Olympics because it's just...
Maybe it's where their heart is. If somebody's heart is more directed toward themselves instead of others, it's more difficult for them to do things for others, because they feel like they're not getting anything in return.
Well, whatever it is, I think we need more of that and less of whatever the hell Mr. Ark was doing. Caller, I'm sorry. We only have a minute left, so unfortunately you're not going to be able to get through. Sorry. Next time. And on that note, I want to thank you, Miss Lighthorse, for coming on the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me back. I really do enjoy this. I really do.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, we're going to have you back again because I love doing this also. And on that note, I want to thank everybody for listening. And once again, I want to thank you, Miss Lighthorse, for coming back on the show and look forward to having you again. I'm Dick Hugger, a.k.a. After N Word, for Miss Esther Lighthorse, Smooth Drama. We're out.
Thank you.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.